of this inquiry compared to those of the evidence leaders, compared to those of the members. So in my view, Chair, I want to disagree completely with paragraph 33.2 of the application. Because I remember, Chair, constantly it has been happening. You have been respectfully and humbly reminding Advocate Mbofu. Advocate Mbofu, can you please wrap up? At no particular point when Advocate Mbofu was not allowed ample time to finish the points he wanted to raise towards the witnesses. But the issue is, we must, as it is stipulated in paragraph one of the application, we must do this inquiry within reasonable time. Now, if the chairperson does not limit our contribution towards this committee proceedings, we are going to flout what Advocate Mbofu is raising in the application paragraph one that relates to us concluding this matter within reasonable time. Chair, part of what is going to make the work of this committee very easy is that the chairperson has got an obligation upon all of us, that which is encapsulated very well in the directives, that when we are told to stop speaking by the chairperson, we must respect that. When we are regulated time for us to contribute towards this committee by the chairperson, we must respect that. The problem of the shouting that is raised in the application
time for us to
comes this from by the chairperson, us respect not respecting that. What the chairperson is telling us to
of
do.
The shouting that
and in turn application breaching rule 183 of the National Assembly rules, that we must conform from the authority of the chairperson of the committee. And if we don't, the chairperson is obligated to be assertive towards us. And if we're shouting against the chairperson will use the authority to be assertive by ensuring that he is firm in terms of what must be done. If, Chair, I want to plead with everybody in this particular inquiry, Chair, that if we conform to the authority of the chairperson in terms of Rule 183, there won't be shouting in this committee. I plead to all of us to respectfully do that and respectfully raising our issues. We are actually given time, Chair, ample time here to submit whatever matter that is ought to be submitted. Hence, it is even captured in the directives that if there is an issue that is not captured in the directive, this is how we must deal with it. Hence, the application has been brought to the committee through that provision of the directives. I won't entertain the issue of the 1 day to 2 weeks of in between of the witnesses, because I think Advocate Mbofu did clarify it that day when it was asked. There's an issue, Chair, about relevance of evidence that is adduced in this committee. Relevance, Chair, there are many issues that are submitted to us by the independent panel. And we've got an obligation to test those issues. And amongst those issues relates to the harassment, the abuse, and the intimidation of the staff in the Office of the Public Protector. So when the staff comes and want to present how they are treated in respect of their execution of their work in the public protector's office, that does not make this committee a labor relations tribunal or grievance committee and all those things. It is raised, Chair, in the charges that it's charged for, that there is an allegation of an intimidation, abuse, and harassment of the staff. So the staff members from the Office of the Public Protector are coming whether to deny or to agree with that charge. Now, it's upon this committee on deliberations to say, okay, this paragraph from this particular witness is not relevant from what the committee wanted to achieve. Remember, Chair, even if we speak about irrelevance or relevance, you come as a witness in this committee. Your evidence that you depose or your affidavit that you depose to the committee may have passed that irrelevant, but may not be completely irrelevant. So when you speak of relevance, Chair, I don't think we must treat it through a helicopter approach, because we'll miss the point. We'll miss the point, Chair. So, Chair, on the 13th of September, I don't want us to go back there, but just to remind the public and the committee that on the 13th of September, what was in discussion was the postponement due to the appearance of Advocate Mbofu and Advocate Mkwebane in court on the following Friday. The matter that relates to her illness, it's not true, Chair, that it was raised on the first instance. It's not true. The issue of her being ill came as when the postponement was being submitted orally in the committee. And constantly, Chair, you have been asking that, is this an apology on behalf of the public protector? And the answer has been no. This is not an apology. And you said, I remember very well, we don't have an apology from the public protector. So I want us, Chair, when we discuss this thing and want to make it very sensitive and all those things, you dismissed the provisional medical certificate to be flighted in this committee. Because documents that are supposed to be flighted in this platform for everyone to see are documents that would have been submitted to the committee secretariat in due time. I can't come now, Chair, and say, in fact, I want to flight a document. Now, can I send you through WhatsApp this document so that you flight it? That's not how the committee operates. The second issue, Chair, you were being sensitive to the issue of the medical certificate being flighted, because we don't know what that certificate contains. Would be best, and the society will retaliate against us on the basis that Tina, we have publicized medical conditions of the public protector, and actually in contravention of POPIA. So the reason why documents are supposed to be submitted in due time is that they must be looked at, that are they fit for them to be taken to the public. So I took it from that kind of a reasoning from you, which I think it was fair even to the public protector as a person, as a human being, as a citizen of South Africa, as Advocate Mbofu is putting it. So those are part of the reasons, Chair, I'm saying this application does not stand the threshold of being endorsed by this committee. The last issue is relating to Honorable Mailam. Part of what is raised, Chair, in relation to Honorable Mailam is that a certain DA person, don't know whose name is that person, spoke about champagne on TV and all those things. So the DA has a view and all that. Chair, let me tell you, or rather this committee, the parties that I've not seen having a public view in relation to this inquiry is the African National Congress, is GOOD, is IFP, is ACTP. All other parties have went to the public and raised their views in terms of what must happen in this committee. So if, for example, you have got Honorable Zungula here, ATM has got its own public contribution in terms of what is happening in this committee. You have got Honorable Holomisa here, who stood up in this committee and said to Advocate Mbofu, he must take this committee to court. Now, that base alone, Chair, It does not stand because we have got various a number of political parties who have got a public participation program in respect of the proceedings of this committee. If we go to an extent of saying Honorable Mailam is a member of the DA and must be dismissed by this committee on those bases, then it means a lot of people can leave this committee because there are a number of political parties that have went to the public and made the statements about this process. The second issue, Chair, is an issue of Twitter and Honorable Mailam. I want to repeat, Chair, that let's refrain, comrades, all of us, from opening a parallel social media platform to discuss matters of this committee. We have refrained from that, not because we don't have views around it, but because we respect this process, that what we say in the public must not taint the fairness and the partiality of this committee. So I want to plead with Honorable Mailam respectfully. Of course, I don't have an authority to tell him what he must do with his life and his social media life. But I want to plead with all of us, Chair, respectfully, that let's tone down. Let's respect these proceedings and ensure that we finalize this matter on behalf of the people of South Africa. Chair, lastly, I want to close this matter on the issue of the bias and the interest in this way. In Hamata and another versus Chairperson Peninsula Technicon, in the Internal Disciplinary Committee, the court explained the difference between holding certain tentative views about the matter and prejudging the matter, which constitute bias, as follows. It is our view is the court, that it is not bias per se to hold certain tentative views about a matter. It is human nature to have certain prima facie views on any subject. A line must be drawn, however, between mere predispositions or attitudes, on the other hand, and prejudgment of the issues to be decided, on the other hand. Bias or partiality occurs when that exceptions could not be made to its attitudes or opinions. But when it shuts its mind to any submissions made or evidence tendered in support of the case it has to decide. No one can fairly decide the case, blah, blah, blah. The point that is made by the court here, Chair, is that we are human beings. We are revolutionaries. The fact that we're members of parliament is because we are revolutionaries. We hold views about issues of happening in society all over, even if it's about whatever subject. But it becomes wrong when we shut our minds off in that we can't be convinced otherwise in terms of what we hold as our tentative views. Which brings us back, Chair, to the reason we have made in the first day of this committee that we are here without any predetermined judgment. What will convince all of us, whatever view an individual member may have, what will convince all of us is the evidence that is submitted unto this committee. Therefore, on deliberations, we'll be able to convince each other on certain matters that were submitted to the committee. These are the reasons, Chair, that I say the application must be dismissed by the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Nola. Honorable Maneli.
So thank you, Honorable Chair. Greetings to honorable members on the platform. Chair, I have been covered quite a great deal by previous speakers on the matters they've raised. And I think in a way, the part one would have not been present on, which is the 13th of September, owing to another parliamentary commitment on the day. I think it's also better clarified as I listened to the inputs made. Chair, in agreeing that indeed we have received advice that you still have to also apply your minds as the recusal is directed at yourselves. But of course, you are chairing a committee and you are members of the committee first, because any of the members could have been elected the chair. But the members decided amongst themselves to elect you as the chair. So in that way, it doesn't take us as members completely out in making a determination as to whether we would have selected a chairperson wrongly or knowingly that this chairperson hold a biased view on the process. And to the contrary, Chair, you've been the one assuring not only the public protector and the team, but assuring South Africans that whilst it is uncharted waters that we are sailing on, every intention is not, if I were to use your words, is not to hold a briefcase. And I want to submit then that it would appear then the briefcase is held elsewhere. So that's my take. And I want to put this from a point or paragraph 68 of the recusal application. As I said, I won't repeat the other points already made, but just that 68, Chair, I have a problem with it, in that you will deal with the recusal of a chair now. But if that 68 is anything to go by, you are likely going to have the recusal of other parties, except those parties perceived to be in support or in the view of the applicant for this recusal believes are progressive. In the line that you would want to take, because the words used are that these parties have a hostile position, meaning the others don't. And therefore it means, and this is the question personally I would have asked, that before I speak, because I belong to the ANC or another member belongs to one of these parties that are counted, already you've prejudiced us in the sense that you already know what we are going to say. So we're no longer members of parliament because you've already judged us on the basis of a party where you come from. And like Honorable Nkosi would have said, quite a number of members here reflect on the evidence put, in particular the affidavits deposed by the witnesses, and will make reference to that, because you are asking on the basis of facts before you, which has been the direction even initially, that ours is to adjudicate facts that are put before us. And I think we've been able to do that from different parties. But once you look at that 68, I'm saying, Chair, unfortunately, it makes it even difficult to even assess whether you as the chair, you may have bias, when in fact the applicant has already got a bias that I will never get anything positive from these ones because I have categorized them as hostile to the public protector or the legal team of the public protector, and therefore see that as the majority that bulldoze itself. And then you select the other parties to a point, of course, that's where the question about whether you are holding a brief from these other parties would have come. It's because these parties will be known even if they are not there before we even get the formal report. And the justification would be that some of them are my clients, some of them are that. And I'm saying, Chair, we've never even raised that point. That, in fact, from the evidence that has been presented thus far, there would be parties that appointed out to have been party to even applications that go to court. And those parties are sitting in the committee because they are represented in parliament. And at no point would you preempt that they will never be objective on the matters that come before them on the basis that they participated in one case or the other in support of the public protector. I'm raising this, Chair, so that it's understood that you can start from one, but you may end up having the whole committee in that way removed. Because if you then say, for example, the chair and the speaker of parliament, then because they had to exercise the legal rights they have in defense of the institutions or the committee on a matter raised against the committee, and then you say there's bias. That bias can even go further to say, who does the speaker represent? It's a presiding officer of parliament. And therefore, there will be an expectation that the speaker is speaking on behalf of the National Assembly, not on behalf of herself or himself. So I'm just saying, Chair, just on those bases, it's not helping us much, this application. As I say, you'll be applying your minds, but as you do that, understand the contributions you are making because you could not elect yourselves. You first became members like all of us, and out of that, members then elected you as a chair. I think I would not spend time on Honorable Mailam's one. I think Honorable Ngola has covered most of the points I thought I would also come to. But I'm just saying, on your part, I think we should keep this in mind. And the last point I want to make, Chair, which was also a question of clarity. It's exactly what has been raised, I think, by Honorable Ngosi, if my notes are proper, that you can't bring an issue that happened months before we start the committee process and not stand up to put it on record that I believe there's bias on this member. In fact, this member shouldn't be here because this member will assist in the decision making. Yet I have this against the member because the member has already said, these are my views. I'm talking to the line that talks to incompetent budget that's quoted, which may have happened in another committee because I've never heard it in this committee that is tasked with looking at the motion itself. So I'm just saying, Chair, my take there is that it for me borders on what we dealt with as the framework presented by Mr. Ibrahim. Mr. Ibrahim didn't talk only to a public protector on what is expected of a public protector, but even what is expected of an advocate. That you'll be ethical. You'll also not withdraw information, to use it at a later point. You will not be identifying loopholes when you have anything to raise at a particular point. And Advocate Mpofu did put this point, that indeed, as you look at recusal, it should not be used because the defendant is more looking at an opportunity that exists to escape what could be the outcome. And I'm saying this because, Chair, in the way you opened again today's meeting of the committee, you indicated how many witnesses are left on your part, which needs to take us to the other witnesses, which at this point, sorry, Chair, after I have listened to Advocate Mpofu raising the issue of these names having been leaked, that some of the people may have not been spoken to, and they may then no longer be prepared to come forward. I think for a layman like me, it just leaves an impression, therefore, that then probably there would have not been witnesses that have been submitted, because I'll doubt that you'd make me the witness when I have no knowledge whatsoever of your engagement and commitment from my side. Maybe we'll still get a list of witnesses to appear. But even if there was not to be a list of witnesses, at the center of this inquiry, Chair, it is about holding the public protector accountable, but giving her an opportunity to state her side of the story so that a determination is made. So at the center, the inquiry is about the public protector. Everything else is enhancement of the process. I want to submit, Chair. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Maneli. Honorable Sukas.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to my colleagues. Thank you, Chair. I think, Chair, the opening salvo, as we started, gave us a view of what was yet to come. A ride with a lot of twists and turns and hula hoops. And the responsibility is of this committee, and our responsibility is to the people of South Africa, to have a process that does not exceed and does not come at a greater cost, and also that follows the mandate that we have been given as this parliament. On the issue of fairness, Chair, it is necessary to take a broad view before we take a more narrow one. And in these proceedings, we must be fair to the public protector, to the witnesses, and to the people of South Africa. So, but before we address the specific grounds offered, we need to consider whether overall the public protector has been treated fairly. Now, there's a number of points which my colleagues has touched on that may overlap with what I'm going to say. In the first place, on the committee, we have parties who have voted, no doubt, for various reasons. They voted against the various motions that have brought us to this point. It is therefore fair to take the position that such parties feel the proceedings are not justified. And once again, those are for a variety of grounds, some political and some may be based on their view of the public protector's conduct and capacity. The same cannot be said universally about those who voted for the motions, as we are by that vote merely voting for the inquiry. In the case of the ACDP and myself, I have no special prior knowledge of this matter. And I'm here precisely because I do not serve on any parliamentary committee that has oversight over the public of the public protector. The committee consists of a broad section of views, ranging from those who feel we should not be here, those who have no view, and those who believe there's a string case to be answered. I do not believe that any member, irrespective of how they or their party voted, will not give the public protector a fair hearing. If that had been the intention, it would have been possible, Chair, to limit the involvement of minor parties. But that has not been the case. Therefore, the public protector is by no means facing a hostile or a biased committee. And in fact, as indicated by the votes against the process, members who are going to do all they can to protect her rights. And I'm grateful for that, as it offers substantial protection to the public protector's right to fairness. It must be stated, and I think some of the members have stated that as well. Secondly, the public protector's right to fair treatment is further protected in that she has her own legal counsel who are here to defend her, as well as evidence leaders who have to offer evidence that are both for and against the public protector. There is no prosecutor in this case. So the public protector has the double protection of a counsel and the facts, because if the facts are in her favor, then the evidence leaders are duty-bound to uncover them. And even in an ordinary labor dispute, Chair, the employee faces a prosecutor who is trying to get them fired. So in this forum, the public protector has no such person. And therefore, the playing field favors her, in fact. And then thirdly, Chair, in addition, the public protector's legal team has been consulted on the rules and they made their submissions. even if these were rejected, they have had an unprecedented level of input into how this inquiry is being conducted. This also ensures fairness to the public protector. And then fourthly, in terms of the issues on fairness, the public protector has had regular recourse to the courts, up to the Constitutional Court, to challenge this process. And I want to stress that I'm sitting in the middle of the Northern Cape, where I deal with schools that are not, that are being closed and doesn't have the means to take the provincial departments or national departments to court because they don't have the money. So something that the average South African that faces, in essence, a labor dispute will never have, the public protector has that. And then moving to the specific grounds, Chair. On the issue of the scope of the inquiry, I think it was not possible for a determination to be made because the public protector's legal team have not properly made out the case. Advocate Mpofu made lengthy opening remarks on the issue of scope, but I have not seen a formal application to the committee by the public protector's team on the issue. We will need to then hear oral argument, as no such application has been made. And evidence led on the first ground, the application, and on the first ground, the application has to fail. As regards to the grounds of limitation of cross-examination and relevance, another mistake is made here. It is stated very clearly in the rules that this is an inquisitorial process, and this is a committee of parliament, and we need to underline that. I also struggle to understand this, but after some research, Chair, I discovered our court is adversarial. It was actually very enlightening for me, this whole process. A system in which judges play a much more limited role than in an inquisitorial system where the judge is not confined to arguments that the lawyers make, but can go beyond that to determine the truth. Questions from the bench at any time are common in an inquisitorial system, and in this case would include questions from members. Mr. Mpofu made a point in an adversarial process, but does not have one in terms of an inquisitorial one, and especially in a process which is not a court process, even a strictly inquisitorial. If the chair has made any mistake here, it is for us, in my view, it is not allowing the committee to ask questions during the evidence leader's initial leading of the witness or the PP's legal team's cross-examination. And then in regards to relevance, the public protector and the legal team can be assured, Chair, we will look at the issue very closely and obtain legal advice and discard what is irrelevant to the motion. And as regards to the events of the 13th and the availability of parties, here again, we need to take a broad view. The process is far behind schedule, Chair, far behind. Several weeks ago, it was already the longest committee hearing in the history of Parliament, as was said by Honourable Mulder. And it is not without cost to the people of South Africa. Every minute wasted means additional cost. It means a house that is not built and all the things that we deal with every day as public representatives on the ground where we face service delivery issues because of budget cuts. So one of the major reasons for this delay has been the public protector's legal team's impression that they are here to cross-examine witnesses the way they do it in a South African court. We have seen cross-examination for days. And thankfully to you, Chair, it has been curtailed. The legal arguments more properly must put in writing, have been presented in a general way. I must, Chair, just add, and I know I've been a bit long, witnesses here have been subjected to abuse and violation of their rights to dignity and fairness with little regard for the consequences on their reputations or the impact on their future or on their current employment. This has generated much more heat than light on the process. Advocate Mpofu has regularly given vent to his irritation with witnesses. It has become intimidatory. We have seen the impact of that on the witnesses as the days went and how they presented themselves. And in one unfortunate occasion, even using the Lord's name in vain, it's as if the context of where we are is lost. So Advocate Mpofu regularly goes over his allocated time. And all of this has been, unnecessary. So it is regrettable that the committee has to now proceed without the public protector, advocate Mpofu, or members present. But it is at least a substantial part due to the waste of time that I've mentioned. I have been ill chair. I've been absent because of ill health. I have a number of committees that I serve on. Many of my committees have various important bills that are before them. So I want to add to what we have done a lot, Chair, in order to ensure that this process is given the attention that it deserves. Advocate Mpofu has able junior counsels who could have cross-examined. They did it very well and to the point, and I'm sure he could have relied on them on the 13th as well. So the chair and the committee, in my view, has been cautious. We've been accommodating in the appreciation of what was a novel process. Therefore, much consideration and too much was given to ensure the rights of the plaintiff to a fair trial. And so, Chair, the people, the public protector is accountable to the people of South Africa. This is a legislative and oversight body of parliament. It operates through the committees and its chairs, who are unlike judges, are the direct representatives of the people of South Africa. So after careful consideration and for the reasons that I state, Chair, I have not had time to address. I find that the application is without merit, and I do not support the application for the recusal of the chairperson. And I want to add that I feel that Mr. Mpofu owes apologies, as he has so very well articulated how he does not suffer abuse or disrespect to his person. This committee, the people of South Africa, the chair, has been, unfortunately, at the receiving end of abuse, disrespect. We must proceed, and the public protector must directly answer questions to this committee. This is my last point. It is a constitutional obligation, and also it is in order for costs to be contained. The public protector had taken us into a confidence earlier in this process. If she did, we would by now would have been far advanced, and we would not be running into scheduling problems that in part have now led to this application. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sukas. Honorable Maute. Honorable Maute.
Oh, good morning, Chair. My apologies. I'm on the road because we don't like to consult members. Now you find ourselves driving and having to speak. So I'm just finding a space. Please bear with me, Chair.
No problem.
So the submission that was made by Advocate Mpofu on behalf of the public protector should have a reality check for all the members of the committee. The submission by the PP and some responses by the evidence leader should have sent a very strong message to all of us to reflect deeply on the manner and conduct of all of us since the beginning of this process. I mean, I've heard what my colleagues said, and I think that they listened to the submission, having made up their mind, especially colleagues from the DA and the ANC. Oh, they've already taken a decision already. This is why they didn't hear some of the things that were painful to listen to and to read, and were really inhuman. The last point made by the PP submission should guide all of us, Chair. The point is that there is reasonable ground, at least by the one side. It does not matter whether we like it or not, to think that they are not being treated fairly. That's what they are putting on the table. We can disagree, but that's fine. But the fact that such ground exists, we must take it and allow this committee to continue with a different chair. It was a good thing that Advocate Mpofu Senior Counsel made it clear and patiently educated all of us. I mean, I was not part of the meeting, but I went on to YouTube to follow the proceedings. Chair, you do not lose anything if you recuse yourself. If anything, you will demonstrate to all of us, including the public, that the mandate of the committee is more important, regardless of who the chairperson is. I want my colleagues in the ANC to perhaps appreciate that you don't always have to be partisan. You don't have to always use majority, even when it's not necessary. Let's use facts on the table. Chair, on the issue of Mr. Malem, our position is clear and has always been clear from the onset. As the EFF, we did not wait. Immediately when it became clear that his inherent bias will not assist the committee, we raised this issue with you and the speaker, but you dismissed us. You dismissed our rational and sensible plea. In fact, We were shocked that Mr. Malem himself availed himself to this committee. Sometimes we personalize this matter so much that we even miss obvious matters like Mr. Malem's involvement in this committee when his wife is the main complainant. It's a fact, whether you like it. Even if you say you think the public protector is incompetent, you have to see that Mr. Malem will do nothing but discredit the whole process. Now, Chair, I did not want to deal with substantial matters raised by Advocate Mpofu in his lecture, particularly your own conduct. But I want to say what happened has happened. Let's see the application for recusal for what it is. The PP has solid grounds. Let's not waste taxpayers' money by continuing with the process that we know that if challenged in court, we're likely to lose as the committee. And I say this because I say we're likely to lose because we keep saying this is not a court and therefore we should not consider court-related conduct and practices. However, once the matter ends up in court, they are not going to say this was not done in court, but in the Committee of Parliament. They will simply look at the matter from natural justice. I want to make a plea to you, Chairperson. Let's set the precedent with the future in mind and not be bothered by immediate irritations. Please recuse yourself, Chair. It will not do any harm to you because, yeah, the test is not whether members believe that PP will get fairness or not. It is whether, given the facts on the table, she has solid and reasonable grounds to perceive or suspect that they could be biased. Some of the members are very wrong because they say that the ruling was done somewhere else. The Constitutional Court gave PP the right to cross-examine. It is in the court judgment, Concord judgment. If you proceed with an unfair process, then we're wasting time and money for everybody. Chair, my last point is recuse yourself. Mr. Malem, please recuse yourself. Let's continue with this committee in the fairness and unbiased manner. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mpile Mautwe, Honorable Gondwe.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me just state at the outset that I do not support this recusal application, although I'm not surprised that it's before this committee. I think Honorable Ngola aptly put it that, you know, right from the onset of these proceedings, the PP has consistently maintained via her legal team that she's participating in these proceedings under protest. It's just unfortunate that it's being brought at a time when we were preparing ourselves to listen to her side of the story and give her an opportunity to set the record straight, you know, around the charges that are brought in the motion. Allow me, Chair, to just touch on some of the grounds that, you know, have been raised in the application. And I want to start with the second ground relating to the directives. Chair, you know, courts have held that Parliament and by extension its committees can decide on and implement their own rules and procedures and function in terms of those rules and procedures. And in terms of, you know, that ruling and in this vein, the committee developed and adopted via the assistance of our legal services unit directives to inform and guide its work, which directives, I might add, Chair, were adopted by the committee. And the committee, as well as the PP and her legal team, were given an opportunity to have their say in terms of these directives and how they were articulated. Chairperson, I think that you've done your utmost best to invoke these directives throughout the proceedings of the committee, and you've been firm and fair when it comes to the application of these directives. At times, Chair, you even gave Advocate Mpofu too much leeway in terms of, you know, the manner in which he cross-examined witnesses. And I think Honorable Sukas touched upon that. In fact, Chair, I recall coming across, an article in the media that criticized us for allowing, some of the witnesses to be abused and to be intimidated in the course of cross-examination. So if you have misapplied these directives in relation to allowing Advocate Mpofu to have too much leeway in terms of the manner in which he cross-examined some of the witnesses. Chair, the third ground relating to the refusal to subpoena President Ramaphosa, the committee deliberated openly on this issue and even sought legal advice on the matter. And on the basis of the legal advice that we received, we took the decision not to subpoena President Ramaphosa. Allow me to emphasize that the decision to not subpoena the president was a committee decision. It was not a unilateral decision taken by you, Chairperson. The committee took this decision after it determined that calling the president as a witness had no bearing or had very little relevance to the work of this committee. Allow me to also speak to the seventh ground relating to relevance. So in the application, a suggestion is made that you have allowed us as members of the committee to, number one, ask questions that are not relevant. And there's also an assertion made that, the evidence led by some of the witnesses was irrelevant to the work of the committee. Chair, I just want to emphasize that this committee is undertaking, a fact-finding inquiry. And in my opinion, all the witnesses that have appeared before the committee were able to provide evidence that is relevant to aspects of the charges contained in the motion, including charge 4, which Honorable Ngola alluded to, which alleges that Advocate Mkhwebane is guilty of misconduct in that she, amongst other things, victimized, harassed, and intimidated staff in the Office of the Public Protector. Therefore, the assertion in the application that this committee has been reduced to an inquiry into the CCMA or labor desk of the Office of the Public Protector is disingenuous and insensitive to the evidence given by witnesses in this regard. Moreover, Chair, because this is a parliamentary inquiry conducted on the premises of Parliament, members of this committee, who are all MPs, in my opinion, have a right to ask whatever questions they would like to ask without fear, favor, or prejudice. And the PP and her legal team cannot dictate to this committee or its members what questions we can ask and not ask, let alone blame the chairperson for permitting us to ask questions that the PP and her legal team deem irrelevant. Now, I want to touch on grounds 9, 10, 11, and 12 in the application, which relate to the meeting of the 13th of September. Chairperson, what happened during the course of that meeting? And I want to touch on the threats that Advocate Mpofu leveled at you. That was unfortunate and it was disturbing. And I also, hold the firm belief that it violates Section 8 of the Powers, Privileges, and Immunities of Parliament Act, which makes it an offense for anyone to threaten an MP for doing their work. By telling you, Chair, that you'll regret this one day and that your day will come and that you'll pay for this simply because you refused to postpone the day's proceedings, Advocate Mpofu went just too far. His utterances in this regard were not only disturbing, but were also unnerving, as we witnessed him unashamedly threatening you, a member of parliament, in full view of other MPs and members of the public. He even went so far as to say he was not making a threat, but a promise. Chair, Advocate Mpofu is a silk, a senior officer of the court, and as such, his utterances were unbecoming of a person of his position and office. And his utterances on that day point to the fact that he has no respect or regard for parliament and its members, because to this day, he remains unrepentant, has shown no remorse for his utterances. And as indicated by, Honorable Sukers, he's not even apologized for what he said. And now he's trying to bring this application and allude to the fact that, he made threat on the basis that he was going to bring this application. And he didn't even explain that on that day. Chairperson, you did nothing untoward or unwarranted during the meeting in question. You simply deferred the cross-examination of Ms. Tejani to a later date in order to accommodate the PP and her legal team. And as such, I stand by the comments made by Dr. Lotrit and Dr. Milder on that day that Advocate Mpofu's conduct be investigated because it constitutes a serious violation or breach of the Powers and Privileges Act. Might I also add, Chairperson, that I support the lodging of any complaint with the Legal Practice Council, either by yourself or anyone else in this regard, as I'm also certain his conduct was in violation of the Code of Conduct of Advocates that regulates the conduct of
advocates. Honorable Gwende, just pause, Honorable Gwende. Let me take the point of order. Honorable Maltwe?
Yeah, no, thank you, Jay. I don't think it's fair that the honorable member is now debating the issue of advocate senior advocate Mpofu, senior counsel. This is not the issue on the table. The issue is the recusal of the chairperson and the member of the committee. It's unfair for her to be talking about senior counsel when the senior counsel is not here to respond for himself. Let's speak to the issue on the table. The issue is the recusal of the chairperson. Mr. Mpofu's conduct has got nothing to do with today's meeting. This is not about
him.
You read the application.
What you are saying is contained in the application. What Honorable Bonwe is saying.
The members, please mute the members. Honorable members, please don't do what you're doing. There's a point of order by Honorable Maudwe. She's on the platform on the point of order. Any other person who'd like to make a point of order will be allowed. You can't do what you're doing. Please allow Honorable Maudwe to complete her point of order, please. Honorable Maudwe, please proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the protection. Thank you so much. Yeah, Chair, I was saying it is unfair to start now reducing this meeting to the conduct of Advocate Mpofu. Because one, this is not what is on the table.
Please,
two, he's not here to respond for himself. So why do we talk about Advocate Mpofu when he's not here to respond for himself? We are here to discuss the recusal of the chairperson of the committee and another member of the committee. And they are here to respond for themselves. Let us be fair, Chairperson. I thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Maudwe, on the point of order that you have placed. Immediately make a ruling and say your point of order is not sustained. Members have been allowed to make reflections on their recusal application, and they have been doing so since this morning, including yourself. So please, your point of order is not sustained, and therefore I want to proceed and go back to Honorable Gondwe.
Thank you, Chairperson. And I would advise Honorable Maudwe to read the recusal application. Because the grounds 9, 10, 11, and 12 speak about the meeting in question, the meeting where Advocate Mpofu, in full view of
the points, Honorable Gondwe, don't contest it.
Chairperson. Anyway, I was almost
the
done.
The powers you give them, it's the powers that you give them. They behave like this because they know that you will protect them.
Please don't do that. And I'm asking you now. Please proceed, Honorable Gondwe.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And I want to touch on the recusal of Honorable Mileham. And Chair, we also received a legal opinion when the issue of his recusal first came up, before this committee. And I would encourage the committee to stand by that, legal opinion and the decision that we took following the legal opinion. And I agree with what Honorable Ngola said. We have other political parties that have, aired their views on the process in not only in tweets, but also by giving, television interviews. And we don't hear anyone complaining about what they've said during those television interviews. So, Chair, I think I've said what I need to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Gondwe, Honorable Tlabude.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. My apologies for sitting in my car because of load shedding. I had to drive to some areas where I can my network will not be disturbed. Honorable Chair, I want to say that I fully agree with the sentiments expressed by my colleague. Firstly, let me welcome the legal opinion by Fatima of the Legal Services of Parliament. So it's well welcomed. We welcome it and also support it. then I want to say, Honorable Chairperson, we will not be apologetic as the ANC to be many in this committee and also to be members of the ruling party. South Africans have voted for us. We have every right to be part of any committee of the National Assembly. So our being here, we don't have, fortunately for us, we don't have any predetermined outcome because we are on a fact-finding mission. We are not, we don't have any outcome that says the public protector must be removed or not be removed. Ours is be on the fact-finding mission. The report of the independent panel doesn't tell us that you must use it and also remove the public protector. It doesn't say that. It's part of the material that is before us that we are using, including all the affidavits that are brought to us and including all the evidence that is there before us. Ours is to scrutinize those materials and come to our own independent conclusion without being influenced by anyone. I fully agree with my colleagues that some of us, parties that are sitting in this committee, have not reflected anything on social media or in our interviews. Reason being that we respect this process, that it must be independent and also it must be fair to both the committee and the PP. The PP has a right to Audi. She will take a stand. She is being represented by her legal team, of which we've been sitting patiently as members, as disciplined members of parliament. We have never interrupted the cross-examination of witnesses. What we do, we have from day one interacted with witnesses based on the evidence that they put before us. That is what we've been doing. We have witnessed many things that have been happening. The abuse of the chairperson and other members. We have witnessed and we have kept our cool because we don't want to be judged like we are being judged here by also our colleagues that we are doing things different. We have never done anything. If we were like some of them, it's us who should accuse them of having a predetermined outcome because Bona, they know what they are here to do. Instead of reflecting on the material facts that I hear and also the evidence that we are getting and also wait for the PP to take a stand so that we can make a sound decision. Some behave in a manner that they are not here to find facts. They are here to defend something that doesn't need to be defended because we must be on a fact-finding mission. So Comrade Xola and Honorable Xola Ngola and other comrades have said a mouthful, Honorable Chairperson. Also, what happened on the 13th was uncalled for. We even stepped in to say this is not necessary, the threats and everything. But we haven't, as a committee, sit down to write and report this matter formally. I think that we need to do it as a committee. We need to sit down and reflect. Let's go back to the Hansard and take everything that is there so that we can have also our complaints backed by facts. Then another thing, Honorable Chairperson, I want to agree with my colleagues that we reject this application. We reject it. Because what is reflected on this application, like the statement that was made in another committee some time ago where we were not even there, is reflected on the application, but without even giving us the context with which that statement was made and why was it made? So we cannot cannot allow an application that is based on material that we have no knowledge of to be put before us. If we were to complain, Comrade Honorable Chairperson, it's us members of Parliament who should complain about not being given enough time to interact with witnesses. But when it comes to the representative, the legal representatives of the PP, they are given enough time. Advocate Mpofu has been given enough time and also additional time to make to question witnesses. We have not complained about that because we want everyone to be satisfied of what they are doing. What we are waiting for, Honorable Chairperson, is to complete the process and also to give the PP an opportunity to state her case. That is what we are waiting for as this committee, so that we can make our own conclusion without it being influenced by anything. So we cannot sit and fold our arms without questioning the witnesses that are before us. We'll question them the way we see fit, based on the facts that they bring, based on the information that they bring before us. That is what we'll do. And we cannot be told or be dictated by anyone to say, for this witness, ask this question. For this, no. We do it the way we see fit as independent ordinary members of Parliament. So, Honorable Chairperson, I support the fact that we dismiss this application for what it is. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Lagude. Honorable Nodada.
Sir, can I just carry your request to go to the next person? I'll just carry maybe the next 5 or 10 minutes. I'll just travel later. If you don't mind, just stay for you just for maybe the next 2 speakers, and I'll come in after that.
Okay, we can't hear you. Okay, we'll do that. You're supposed to be the last. I see, Honorable Romisa, you have a second bite.
Chairperson, it's true. What I would suggest is that just before perhaps you give your side of the story or give a judgment on this, I would propose, as I've said earlier on, that we seek a legal advice as suggested by a Parliament legal advisor. In the meantime, should you consider stepping down, we should appoint an interim chairperson pending out the outcome of the legal advice. Such an approach, I'm sure, will allow us to continue with the committee's work as early as Monday next week. Lastly, Mama Honorable Member from Limpopo Mukuluma, I think your mother tongue language. We are not easily intimidated, some of us, by the big numbers of your party. We are here.
On a point of order, Chair.
We are here to contribute.
Chairperson, on a point of order.
Okay, just hold, Honorable Mr. Honorable Mola.
Chairperson, we assist here with an application from the legal team of the public protector. We have, since we have started from 9 o'clock, been discussing what is contained in the recusal application. I think it is out of order from Honorable Lomisa to want to interact with what Honorable Sewela said.
And even go
to an extent of mentioning even the language that was used. It is out of order. It is not part of what we're discussing.
But you didn't stop her when she was doing so.
Honorable Nola is on the platform.
Okay.
So, Chair, I just wanted to submit that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Nola. Honorable Olomise, I'm coming back to you, and I would have indicated earlier that I would want members to focus on the issue and not necessarily go between Donga. So I want you to continue, but refrain from those kind of issues.
Unfortunately, Chairperson, you didn't stop Umama when she was threatening us about or boasting about their numbers. We are here to contribute to this application. So we are not going to be intimidated. We have won cases against the so-called big parties in this parliament. So she must stop intimidating us. But I'm waiting to hear from your response. I was just saying to you, sir, just before you give a last word on this issue, that is the position of the UDM. Let us seek a legal advice from outside. We respect the position of the ANC. They have said they are rejecting this application. We are not ready yet to pronounce on that. We'll consider that later. Thank you.
Honorable Olomisa. Honorable Lodata, are you back? Can you speak now?
I'm here. I don't know if I'm honest. Am I audible now, Chair?
Yes, you are.
Am I audible, Chair?
Yes, you are audible.
All right. Thank you so much, Chair. Chair, I just want to start with a few points on the recusal application by the Public Protector's legal team and by extension, the Public Protector. I think on the grounds that have been put, Chair, when it comes to you, specifically on the alleged form of bias and unfairness that has been put to you, I think the grounds that have been substantiated holds no water, Chair. And the reason why I say those grounds hold no water is because in many instances, to an extent, to the frustration of some of us, thought, you know, there has been an allowance by the Public Protector's legal team to speak anyhow with either members of the committee, witnesses that come and present, and the accusation that you are being unfair and biased actually does not extend, because you have given various times, sometimes over time, for the Public Protector and her legal team to make their point, their efforts to cross-examine, even saying as far as engaging with your chair to ensure that some backroom stuff do not happen. And I think the grounds that have been put there, Chair, can be substantiated. Some of them, the manner in which that have been put in the recusal application, are actually nitpicking without giving any form of context, one. Number two, with the evidence that is being provided limited and not giving any form of acknowledgement of fairness that has been provided from your chair in your office. And I think that has been done to a very, very extreme extent. To some extent that I say, Chair, it has been overly done in some instances. The second thing is that linked to this recusal application is Honorable Kevin Malem. Now, the reality of the situation is this. The Honorable Malem on numerous occasions have raised the same concerns directly to the Public Protector's legal team through you as a chairperson that he has written on social media. So I do not think that there's anything new that hasn't been covered, by the way, by news
articles, television, the media generally, on what he has said on his Twitter page. So those contents have been expressed in the committee. They've been extensively covered by the media. And for them to be taken now and used as a weapon of some sort of being unfair or biased actually does not hold any water. I'll go as far as saying, Chair, in many instances, the members in the committee that have not either independently, not with groupthink, have not either declared what their position is at this point in time, because it's not the right thing to do in any case, because we have to hear all sides of the story based on the allegations that have been put forward in dealing with the motion that we're dealing with. But there are specific members of this committee that I can mention by name, Chair, that have declared their position of biasness on social media, on TV press conferences, on rallies, in the public platform. And it's been very clear of whom are those members that are biased in dealing with this particular motion. And if we had to go and examine that and take the very same facts that who exactly is biased in this committee in dealing with motion, you will find that the people that accuse you, Chairperson, one, of bias that have spoken in this meeting, secondly, in support of the recusal application, are in fact the very same people that have been biased and unfair in this particular process, either to the witnesses and sometimes to the detriment of the public protector in the motion that has been put. Now, what we need to be able to examine as a committee, Chair, is one, this recusal application is based on the allegations that have been put towards you. One, are they tested? Do you have a legal opinion and backing and standpoint to support those allegations that have been put there, of which I don't believe so? Thirdly, with Honorable Malem being linked to that refusal application, the comments that he's made, has he made any pronouncement that might make this process be unfair and biased? And also, it does not preclude anybody who is an individual member of parliament, whether I was married to the Queen or whoever, to participate in the processes of parliament and part of committees of parliament as an independent individual member of parliament. Because we're not here to do groupthink. When we took the oath of office, we didn't take it as a collective of individuals. We took it as individuals, members of parliament that are going to uphold the constitution. And the constitution does not preclude anybody who is a member of parliament, despite of what their allegiances to who are. Some people are family members, by the way, in some of these parties. But nobody is precluded from participating in the process of parliament by virtue of them being a family member, brother, sister, whatever you want to call it, of another member. Now, this narrative that has been pushed, Chair, I feel as if it's also a form of a defense mechanism to the conduct of Advocate Mpofu in the meeting that he cites of making threats to you as a chairperson, as far as going saying that it's a promise to you, which, by the way, is wrong. No matter which side of the fence you sit or which side of the house you sit, if you have an objective mind, you are going to be able to indicate what is wrong and what is right. So I want to propose then, therefore, Chair, that this recusal application be responded to point by with the assistance of our legal advice in the committee in rejecting, by the way, some allegations mainly around unfair and bias from yourself as a chair, which I don't believe has been proven. In fact, we can prove otherwise of fairness to a very extreme extent. Secondly, we have a legal opinion that has been put by the Legal Service Department regarding the Honorable Kevin Mylan, which has been very clear. We also sourced a private legal opinion, by the way, on top of that, to be able to substantiate that legal opinion that was sourced by the legal department, which actually has no grounds. Thirdly, in terms of the contents and the facts of him being accused of being biased by virtue of tweeting things that are already in the public media platform that he said and emphasized in the committee directly through you, Chair, to the legal team of the public protector, actually has no grounds and holds no water. Must not be intimidated, Chair, and be told that if this thing is then taken to court, the committee, you know, will face the consequences of this. I mean, this is not the platform for us to be making certain threats on either ends, by the way, of the platform. But we must deal with the facts as is. The reality of the situation is that this committee has been set up to ascertain that the motions that contain certain allegations towards the public protector is either true or not, based on the witnesses that come through, and mainly by the public protector setting the record straight. And that opportunity is available. And we cannot be dictated to as to how do we ask questions, how do we pose questions to witnesses, and what conclusions are going to be drawn out of that based on anybody that would have submitted to the committee, which, by the way, is going to be a collective decision. There's nobody, one person, that can make or manipulate this particular process to suit them or the other. And I think if we want to make sure that we run a process of fairness, those people that also make public statements, by the way, individual members of this committee, by the way, Chair, that make biased and unfair statements on either social media or media in its entirety or any other platform that is public, must also check themselves. Because we cannot be accused as individual members of this committee that so happen to belong to certain political parties that we've got a group thing. Unfortunately, we don't have a group thing. That's why we took the oath of office as individuals. And those members that maybe have a group thing need to check themselves in terms of bias and unfair proceedings. So that's my proposal, Chair, regarding the recusal applications. And I think the committee, lastly, needs to take a resolution, as said by Honorable Gondwe, and I think Honorable Zagude Feather said that we need to take a formal stance about the utterances of Advocate Mbofu towards you as a chairperson, and make that a formal resolution of the committee so that the committee can take up that issue, so that nobody else tomorrow can come here and threaten members of parliament regardless of whatever platform it is, whether that we're conducting our oversight, whether we're sitting in a committee, whatever the case may be, because it's part and parcel of our responsibility. And because it's in the recusal application, it's important for us to deal with some of those substantive issues. That's my input, Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Nadada. As I wrap up, do I see this second bite, Honorable Zongola, Honorable Mautwe, and Siwela, and then the last speaker will be Honorable Tlape. Honorable Zongola.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was hoping, Chair, that you would perhaps guide the meeting, because now we are discussing a lot of things at once. And as we're discussing a lot of things at once, it is bound to happen that there's going to be a lot of confusion. There's going to be a lot of misunderstandings that are occurring here and there. Firstly, Chair, when Ms. Fatima presented, there was a few points of clarity on her presentation, which I thought would be dealt with. And after them being dealt with, we could move on and, you know, and not find ourselves confused or unclear about some elements. At the same time, we are having members that are dealing or having suggestions on the process that should be followed in dealing with this recusal application. At the same time, you're having members already discussing the merits of merits of the application. At the same time, we are having members that are finding time to discuss the conduct of advocating both, which is a completely different and separate issue that must be ventilated, not here, not now. We are having another members who are going to be talking about the conduct of other members, whether they are biased or not biased. And I'm not sure why, if they indeed genuinely feel those members are biased, why do they not go to, you know, make an application for those members to be recused? And because it seems as if now they are threatening this process, they're threatening the independence of the members in this platform by saying so-and-so is biased or so-and-so is pronounced on the media. If indeed they genuinely feel so, why bengayi banga qali process of calling for those members to be recused? So, Chair,
Chairperson.
Honorable Zongola, just hold. Honorable Nwala.
Chair, we'll have a problem in this meeting if you open a round for a discussion. We submit all of us respectfully. And there is another round that is opened for some members who want to reply or correct with statements made by others. It will have us problems because everyone will want to respond to every member that says anything. So I want to plead, Chair, with you and the members that it won't take us anywhere to want to reply every now and then. Respectfully, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Ngola. Your concern is noted. I am going to ask, because this is a second bite of Honorable Zungula, followed by Honorable Maotwe and Siwela, and then Honorable Kape closes as the last speaker. Honorable Zungula?
Yeah, so that is what I was saying, Chairperson, that there's a lot happening, and it is not helping the process when we are having members deliberate on various and different issues all at once. So to assist the process, Chairperson, I would ask that, number one, you rule or you ask Ms. Fatima to respond to the questions of clarity. Secondly, you make a determination on the process that needs to be followed on this particular application. If you rule that we can deal with the merits, I've not dealt with the merits, and a couple of members as well have not dealt with the merits because we are waiting for your direction, your ruling as a chairperson. And then from dealing with the merits, then we'll be able to deal with some of these wild allegations that have been leveled against some of the members by people who do not want to be bold. You know, amagwala who speak in folk tongues, abangathethi straight abatshoyo ba so and so has done 1, 2, 3. So that is what I'm suggesting, Chairperson. Okay. Once you made that determination whether we can deal with the merits, because another thing, Chair, that I need to remind you, it is you who needs to make a decision. I don't think this application requires that the committee makes a decision whether you be recused. This is not a motion of no confidence in you as a chairperson. A motion of no confidence in you as a chairperson would require that the members discuss and deliberate, and a committee takes a decision that you must no longer be chairperson. But this is an application for a recusal whereby you must make a determination. You must decide. And after deciding, then we move on. But by allowing or, you know, leading the committee to discuss and making positions, whether they're in support of the application or not, you know, procedurally, it is not in line with what is happening and what needs to happen, as Ms. Fatima had stated earlier on. So that is why, Chairperson, I want to repeat that you must make a decision. And after making that decision, whether you recuse yourself or you don't recuse yourself, then we can discuss as a committee. But it is not going to take us anywhere, Chairperson, if we are going to go around in circles and in circles. That's why meeting at Kalengo 9, it's 11:30 now, almost an hour, almost 2.5 hours later. There's still no conclusive direction in which the meeting is taking. It is because we are failing to direct the meeting in a manner that the meeting needs to be taken. Hence, you find that we are going to have a lot of members talking about different issues at once. So I want to move, Chairperson, that firstly, allow Ms. Fatima to respond to the questions of clarity. Secondly, you either...
You're repeating yourself now. Thank you, Honorable Zungu.
I'm concluding, Chairperson.
Yeah.
After you make a decision on whether you recuse yourself, we deal with the process and we deal with the merits if need be, and then that's it, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Zungula. You will get an opportunity of hearing Ms. Ibrahim and myself. Honorable Maotwe, followed by Honorable Siwela.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to be very brief. Chair, it has come to our attention that you actually serve in the Justice Committee where you are conducting an oversight on the PP. That's one. You also share in the rules committee that makes the rules, including all the rules in parliament. So those two make you to be conflicted. There's an automatic interest on your side, because you are holding the PP accountable from the Justice Committee, but also you then go and make the rules. So I think just based on those grounds as well, please recuse yourself, Chair. I thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Maute, for sharing the latest information. Honourable Suwer.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I want to indicate that I'm not intimidating any member, and it's not my intention to intimidate any member in this platform. Maybe Honourable felt that I'm here to intimidate other members. I thought I'm expressing my views like any other member. So I just want to put that on record, that I don't have such an intention, because I understand the rules of the House. We are members of the House, all of us who are equal, and we need to be given that opportunity or space to deliberate freely. So I wanted just to indicate on that one, Chair. But Honourable Zungula has covered me now when he said we must allow the legal rep to... To answer something, and the ruling should come from you, not from us. So I respect that. I wanted just to clarify that maybe it was because I was using my mother tongue. I never intimidated anyone, and that's not my intention. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Zuela. Honorable Klape, you're the last one. Honorable Mangetsi Tlape.
So, Chair, I'm struggling with load shedding here. I was cut a bit, and I will be quick. Chair, thanks for the opportunity, and greetings to my fellow members on the platform and the support staff. One, Chair, let me indicate in the beginning that I support the suggestion or proposal that we reject as the committee this application for recusal. Honourable members has indicated that on the issue of Honourable Mylam, it has been served before the committee and there was an understanding. That's point number two, is that on yourself, Chair, because I just want to indicate, we've been members of this committee, we've been alive to the proceedings in this committee, always maintained, even when we started, that fairness has there. After we held so many meetings, it became an issue.
Just to reposition yourself, I think you are cutting, Honorable Klape. You are cutting.
Until this meeting, that after...
You are cutting quite often. We can't hear you properly, Honorable Klape. Just reposition yourself if you can. I think Honorable Klape has a network challenge. She did indicate. I can't hear him now anymore. I think we've lost her. In the meantime, I'm going to ask Fatima to quickly make your final comments in response to some of the issues that would have been raised. And thereafter, I would come and make the summary of the meeting and the way forward.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'll start with Honourable Zungulo raised the issues related to the Code of Ethical Conduct and Disclosure of Members' Interests. The provision in the Code Chair reads that the member must withdraw from the proceedings of that committee or forum when the matter is considered or decided, that being a matter where there is a conflict of interest, unless that committee or forum decides that the member's interest is trivial or not relevant. So the duty is placed on the member, firstly, for disclosure, and secondly, then for the member, in that case, then, if there is a conflict, to remove themselves, and it allows the committee to make a determination otherwise, irrespective of what the member has disclosed, if the committee is of the view that that disclosure or that conflict as disclosed is trivial. The code is, though, limited to conflicts of interest. It does not go as wide as bias in the general understanding of that term. And the focus is on pecuniary or personal interest. That being said, Chair, the remedy where a member is of the view that another member has not properly withdrawn from proceedings where they ought to have withdrawn from proceedings is the laying of a complaint in terms of that code with the registrar for members' interests. That would be the only remedy as far as the code is concerned, because where a member has breached the code, what follows then is the complaint process in respect of that apparent breach. So I think that deals with the question raised by Honourable Zungula. The other thing that I wanted to touch on from Honourable Zungula, I'm not sure if he missed the first part of my presentation, but as I understood him, he was of the view that the chair should deal with the recusal application and the committee shouldn't play a role. I disagree for the reasons that I stated earlier. The effect of that would be that if other members of the committee are of the view that the chair is in fact biased, notwithstanding that the chair is of the view that he isn't, that they then allow themselves to participate in a process that is tainted and that would not be fair. In fact, the rules provide that the committee must ensure that the process is fair. So there is a duty on all members. That being said, Chair, I think it may be wise if the committee does determine, and as I'm leading the committee, there is general agreement that we seek external legal advice, that we put this question as well to counsel on the procedure to see if there's agreement on this procedure as I've proposed, and the committee can then consider that again at a later stage if it wishes. Chair, the only other question that I made a note of was from Honourable Nkosi about what the meaning of a reasonable time frame would be. You know, the answer is as long as a piece of string. I can't put a number on it, but what I can do is to give the committee a sense of the amount of time that we've spent so far. So the motion was tabled on the 21st of Feb 2020. So that's more than 2 years ago, soon will be 3 years. And the panel report was then adopted by the House on the 16th of March 2021. And this committee met for the first time, and the chair was appointed on the 20th of July. So it's been 14 months since this committee process has commenced. And when the rules speak of a reasonable time frame, it's in relation to the committee portion of the process. So in other words, the portion of the process as of 20th of July. I think, Chair, that in considering what would be a reasonable time frame, the committee would be remiss if it does not consider the balance of the public protector's term. Her term ends next year, October. If the committee does not consider the public interest in the matter, the fact that there is now an acting public protector and so on. So there are various things that the committee would need to consider. But the bottom line is that the process should not be unduly delayed at all. And perhaps I can briefly reply to Honourable Heron while I'm on that point, who raised that he disagreed with me that you as chair, you're not a decision maker. I think there might have been misunderstanding. my point was that you're not a decision maker as regards the final recommendation that would go to the House. That is a collective mandate that the committee will execute as a whole. My point was that I was of the view, and I said that I don't want to get into an argument on legal strategy, but my view was that on these issues that are raised in the recusal application, one would have thought that it would be better placed to raise those issues in a subsequent review proceedings if we get to that stage, that I didn't think that it was timeous or that it made sense necessarily to raise them now. So I do appreciate what he has said, that certainly the chair does make determinations from time to time as we proceed. Chair, those are the only questions that I captured. I, of course, will be here to assist the committee in further considering any legal opinion that has been received or to otherwise provide any other advice that the committee requires. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fatima Ibrahim. Let me also take this opportunity to thank the legal advice team, thank all members for your contributions and reflections in today's meeting. Just want to make a brief summary and a way forward. And in so doing, I will also respond, Ms. Ibrahim, on this issue of the addendum. The first point that I must make is that for the whole of next week, we will not be having a committee meeting as planned and as reflected in the program. I will speak with the committee secretary as the chairperson of the committee, and you will be informed, because the intention is that after next week, we will need to convene a meeting of this committee. In other words, I am indicating that we'll give it a break for the whole of next week. And in that week, first week of October, we'll consider a day which you will be informed about, where we'll convene a committee meeting that I will chair. In that committee meeting, I'm hoping that we'll be able, and that this is the determination on our side, that in that committee meeting, we will be able to present two important things. One, as a chair, I will table the response to the application for recusal by the public protector team. Because there are two things here that must not be conflated. There's a need to respond to each of the 12 grounds in detail, paragraph by paragraph, in a very thorough way. And if one has to respond to even to the commas and full stops that are there, that's exactly what we're going to have to do. In closing our meeting on Wednesday, I would have made an undertaking to the public protector legal team and said, facts matter. And our response are going to be so thorough to demonstrate how these facts matter. And all of the 12 grounds, all of the issues that have been raised. So that meeting, on the one hand, will have to come back to you and say, as the chair who's presiding over this process, this is the response, and report back to you in such a meeting. I'm hoping in the same meeting, Ms. Fatima Ibrahim will be in a position to table what you would have requested, the legal advice. Because you can't just do a legal advice on its own, because the legal advice does not substitute a detailed, thorough response to what has been put as a recusal application. So I would have listened to members indicating that we need to do that. And I'm saying in such a meeting, that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to work and plan towards that and deal with those two issues in detail in such a meeting. So that's the first point I want to make. Secondly, on the issue of the addendum, Ms. Ibrahim, that addendum was not issued. And in fact, I would have asked evidence leaders and have worked on that to check with both Van Lochrenberg, Pillay, and Bassani for a further opportunity for them to come. I'm aware that that process has been undertaken. And so if I had issued an addendum, I would not have done that. So that clarifies already even before I bring a response to some of the issues that, that would have been raised here. Thirdly, I hear also members indicating that, and I'm going to put this these two issues back for decision making as I summarize. Members have therefore recommended that the committee must initiate the process to investigate the threats that would have been made on the 13th of September. Secondly, majority of members here, whilst the chairperson is going to have to apply his mind and on the issue of responding to the recusal application, and I've indicated when such could come to you, in this meeting, members have indicated that even though they respect the fact that the chairperson must still come and make his response, as members of this committee, you've been part of this process, in their majority are rejecting this application. And I would record because members were very clear in saying that. There would have been a request for and support for the legal advice, a request for the chairperson to recuse himself. Those that would have asked for the chairperson to recuse himself, I've already indicated that there's a date when you will hear the chairperson responding to your request. And the response will be in a very thorough and a detailed manner, responding to that application. And at the same time, it will be attending to your request for recusal. As things stand, before I make that response, the chair remains the chairperson of this committee and will be chairing that committee that will give a response and a decision from the chair, as well as that meeting which would have the legal advice tabled to the committee. I had allowed members enough time to express themselves, unlike when in the inquiry, there's a specific time that is determined based on the directives. This today's meeting is your meeting as members of this committee. There was no member that I would have said, this is your last point, stop, because you needed to express yourself in this regard. And members, I've asked them to reflect on the recusal application. So others would have chosen to deal with the matters as they deem fit. Others are waiting for the chairperson to make a response, and that response will come. And therefore, that is the summary that I want to make to all of you members, that as we prepare to come to you and give a very concrete blow-by-blow response, and as I would have promised Advocate Mpofu, that response will indicate that facts matter. I'm not going to get into that now, but we're going to be able to do that because we are very mindful of the importance of this process from the very beginning, in the manner we're presiding over this, in the manner we're handling matters here. What is important here is that institution of the Public Protector South Africa. What is important here is the fact that the head of the Chapter 9 institution is coming to a parliamentary process as part of an exercise for accountability. There would have been a lot of incidentals throughout this process that I would continue to urge members not to be sidetracked by those incidentals. We must stay focused in order for us to do this work. We've got to do this work and conclude it. But let's wait for that meeting when we will be bringing that very comprehensive response to the issues that would have been raised. I've taken note in a very great deal of patience. I've taken note of all of the issues that members would have raised, even though as a chair, I will still have to make that determination. I've taken note of all of those issues, and at this point, I'm not going to respond to any of that. The response will be in the form of what will be tabled to the committee, presented by the chairperson of this committee, and also sharing with you by then, hopefully, the legal advice, so that both go in tandem in relation to that. Those are the issues I wanted to quickly put on the table, just to indicate as I proceed in terms of the summary of the issues that we would have raised. Is there anybody who maybe I can request? Anybody who moves the support for this key process and recommendation that the issue of the threat that were issued must be investigated by the committee. I'm going to recognize hands for that. And I would have indicated that listening to you, majority of you as members of the committee, we're of the view that what is in front of us as an application has no merit. Still, as a chairperson, I'm still going to have to respond to that. Thank you, Honorable Olamisa. Before I close the meeting.
Chairperson, well articulated ruling insofar as this challenge. Uthi usaphethe mhlekazi. Lakususa next week. Thank you very much.
Good luck to your dread knees. No, of course, general. And December slap, general. Thank you, Honorable Mananison, Honorable Nkosi.
Thank you, Chairperson. One would want to align myself with your sentiments as alluded to just now.
that's what I wanted to second. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mananis. Honorable Ngosi.
Chair, I move specifically that the committee investigate the threats to yourself by the PP team and report back to the committee as determined by its own processes.
Thank you, Honorable Ngosi. Any seconder for that?
It's seconded, Chair.
Honorable Ngola seconds. Thank you, Honorable Members. Honorable Gondwe?
I don't know if I can add it.
So,
Honorable
Gondwe.
Thank you, Honorable Suela. Honorable Gondwe?
Gondwe.
I also wanted to second the ruling that you've made, Chair. I support it, Chair. I also wanted to add that, Chair, I would also support a complaint by yourself or anyone else with the Legal Practice Council around Advocate Mbofu's conduct in relation to the meeting of the 13th. That's just an aside. Thank you.
Thank you. At this stage, we're only leaving it at investigation by the committee. Let's leave it at that point.
Noted, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Gondwe. No other hands and comments. Thank you, Honorable Members, for your time and contributions. The time now is 5 to 12. I was wrong to think that this would be a short meeting, but I understand why it was long. Because you had to contribute and express yourself. That is very much appreciated, very much educative in your approach, and empowered as the chair. Thank you, members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson. Have a nice
weekend. Thank you, Chair.
And all.
Thank you, Chair.